I were to ask you to raise your hand if you like change, some of you would, but most of you would not. Most people only tolerate change. They don't really like it. It's been said that the only ones who actually like a change are wet babies. Not entirely true. Some people actually do like change, but they're in the minority. The main division in politics is between those who want change, liberals, and those who don't want change, conservatives. But even liberals become conservative when they get the changes that they want. They certainly don't want things to change back to what they were before. But what if I followed up the question of whether you like change with whether you like progress? Then I would guess that nearly every hand would go up. Everyone likes progress. This means things are improving, and we like that. So what if you could find a way to make progress without needing to make any changes? Well, if you could do that and sell it, you would become very wealthy very quickly. But you can't have progress without change. Progress, by definition, means that things have changed. If they were the same as they were before, then there would be no progress. When it comes to the Christian life, it's all about change. It's about becoming different than we are now. So what's wrong with the way we are now? You're kidding, right? What's wrong with us is that we are not yet what God saved us to become. We haven't gotten there yet. We may be saved. We may be rescued from the penalty of sin. We may have our sins forgiven and be heaven-bound, and all that's good. But God saved us that we might grow. That we might grow. And because you can't grow without change, God's plan for us includes our changing. Romans 8:29 makes this clear when it says, "For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son." This transformation will require some very serious change. Now, not all change brings growth. We know that. Some change, in fact, is retrograde. But without change, there can be no growth at all. So if growth is what God expects of us, and if growth requires change, then why don't we embrace the change that leads to growth? That makes sense. Why don't we love change for the benefit that it brings? And the short answer to that question is, change is usually painful to some degree. Growth only occurs through the process of what is potentially painful, then our tendency is to avoid the process. Most people are pain averse. I'm pain averse. I don't like pain. And I suspect you don't like pain either. So why would we do something that we know is likely to be painful? Great question. And I'll give you two reasons why we do. The first reason is because God wants us to change. That's his plan for us. He wants us to change. And second is that it's better for us in the long term if we do. Now, notice I didn't say it would be more fun if we do. I didn't say that it would be easier if we do, or that we would get more things that we want if we do. I said it would be better for us long term if we do. Well, better in what sense? Better in the sense that we become what God designed us to become, in that sense. We realize our best possible actual self. You see, we've been made to fulfill God's purpose in us. And unless we fulfill God's purpose, then we are less than what God designed us to be. Now, we can survive that way. We can definitely survive that way. We might even be okay that way. And I dare say that most people opt for this because it's easier and it's less painful. Now, you probably don't remember the day you were born, do you? I bet you don't remember that. But if you go back far enough, not all that far, you'll get back to the day that you entered the world. Now, suppose that you live as a baby for a few months. Maybe you're 10, 11, 12 months old. It's almost time for you to start walking. And by some weird chance, you can understand the English language perfectly as a 11, 12-month-old baby. And suppose that one day your mom or dad comes to you and says, you know, you're just a baby now, and life is pretty simple. You eat, sleep, crawl, and make messes in your diapers. Doesn't really require a lot of skill right now. But soon you're going to learn to walk, and life is going to get a lot more complicated after that. You're going to face lots of issues in your lifetime, being a child, starting school, making friends, losing friends, getting into fights, arguing with your siblings, having a girl or a boy break your heart. This is all coming. You'll have to study, graduate, decide whether college is for you or not, and if so, where. You'll probably meet someone. You'll probably get married. And let me tell you, marriage is not an easy gig sometimes. And you'll probably have children. That's not an easy gig either. They might disappoint you, in fact. And then there are the in-laws and the outlaws. Sometimes they're the same. And there's work and your boss and sickness and disappointment and loss and sadness and grief and old age. You see, if you live long enough, you're going to get old. There's no other way around it. And sooner or later, you'll have to face the death of your friends and your loved ones, and eventually you'll be confronted by your own death. So my advice to you, baby, is that you stop the process right now. Just remain a baby. Life will be so much easier for you. You can avoid all the painful things. Life will be simpler, it'll be easier, it'll be less painful, and I have the power to keep you a baby forever. Just say the word. Now, would you take them up on their offer? I suspect that you would not take them up. Because you see, even with the pain, life is a great adventure. And we accept the pain in order to get the things that life offers us in no other way except by living it. And so it is in the Christian life. It can be painful, yes. It can be unpleasant at times, certainly. But for the believer, it's the only life that fulfills our real purpose. And so we say yes to it. And verse 1 has just said that based upon what God has already done for us, we now submit ourselves to His purpose for us. His purpose for me, and His purpose for you. We offer ourselves as a living sacrifice, which is not only the right thing to do, given what God has already done for us, but it's the only reasonable thing to do. It's our logical, literally, our logical and proper worship. It's the only logical response to make. Today we're in Romans 12, verse 2. Page 1137, if you're using the Sanctuary Bible, or if you'd like to follow on the sermon notes page, it's typed out there for you in the NIV version. Let's pray as we begin. Our Father, we pray that you would open our eyes that we might behold wonderful things from your word. Teach us what we should know. Motivate us by your Spirit to obey, that we can be cooperative in the process of our own growth, the very thing you have planned for us. Help us to be attentive, and we pray that this would be a fruitful time in that effort. We ask it through Christ our Lord. Amen. So the first thing we do as Christians is show up. We show up for duty. We offer ourselves in God's service. We looked at that in some detail last couple of weeks. And that service is mostly about change from who we are into what we will become under God's careful and loving guidance. Romans 12, verse 2. Let me read it for you. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So the first thing we do is something that we actually don't do. The first command is to not do something. We are to avoid something, first and foremost. We're to avoid being conformed to the pattern of this world. Now, the word conform is actually in the passive voice. That means it's something that acts upon us. You know, if you remember from grammar, the active voice means that the subject is doing the action. But in the passive voice, the action is being done to the subject. And that's the form this particular word is. So it's saying that we're to avoid being conformed to the pattern of the world. Now, if we're not resisting the process, here's the thing. It will inevitably happen. Happens for two reasons. One reason it happens is because it's easier to be conformed than to fight the conformation. Being conformed requires no effort. It just happens naturally. It happens inevitably. Not being conformed requires active resistance. Now, you know as well as I do that we have a tendency to take the easier route over the harder route. And that's good. There's nothing wrong with that because it conserves our energy. But when it comes to the spiritual life, that's not a good thing. Why? Because it hinders our growth. Why does it hinder our growth? Because the way of the world is not God's plan for us. It's in contradiction to God's plan. It's also worth noting the word here, translated world, is not really literally world, it's age. It's saying don't allow yourself to be conformed to the pattern of this age, the age in which we live. We're to resist the tug of the age in which we live to adopt its values and its ideals. But there's a second reason why this happens, and that's because we still have a sin nature in us that frankly likes the things of this age. We like them a lot, truth be told. The main reason we allow ourselves to be conformed is because we find it enjoyable and enticing and interesting, even exciting. For those reasons alone, it's not easy to resist it. I've said before that the reason we sin is because sinning is fun. Sinning is fun. You can get rid of the pious faces. I've been around a while. I know that sinning is fun. And I know that's a huge motivator for us in engaging in it. If it was not fun, it was not enjoyable, if we didn't have a natural pull to it, why do you think the Bible gives us all the prohibitions? It knows that we are attracted to sin. Notice the Bible doesn't say that we're not to put our hand in an open flame, or that we're to walk in front of a galloping horse, or that we should not play with sharp knives. We know these things. We don't have to be given commands against these things. We will avoid these things naturally. The reason the Bible gives us the prohibitions is because we naturally go to them. We're drawn to them. And the things we're drawn to are harmful to us in the long term. That's key. In the long term, they are harmful to us. But in the short term, they're downright fun. They're downright fun. You guys look so pious. You've got your brows all furrowed and you're all serious. You act like you don't know what I'm talking about. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We are all attracted to things that we should not do constantly. We must fight off the impulse to say yes to these things. The world, the age in which we live, wants us to be like itself. So it molds us into that form. It conforms us to itself. And it doesn't require anything on our part but neglect. That's all it takes. All you have to do is neglect it and you will be conformed. It's inevitable. Now, whenever you buy a product, you often get instructions on how to take care of it. And, you know, the bigger and more expensive it is, the more elaborate the instructions are to how to take care of it. But instructions for not taking care of it would be very simple. They would just say, do nothing. Do nothing. And by doing nothing, you would ensure the ruin of the thing. I don't care if it's your car, your house, your relationships, your job, your skills, your marriage, your friendships, your work. It doesn't matter. Passive neglect will ruin without effort. Every time. So how do we not get conformed to the age? How do we avoid being conformed to the pattern of this world? Good question, which is answered in the next phrase, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And we're going to talk about that a lot more next week. But conformed naturally by doing nothing. You don't have to do anything to be conformed to the world. It happens naturally. By being passive, we get conformed to worldliness. Our values start to look like the world's values. Now, why do our values start to look like the world's values? Because they are the world's values. That's why they look like that. It's part of our conformation to the age. So, what are the values of the world? It's a good question. Well, in a broad brushstroke, they're the things that are contrary to God's values. You can't really get simpler than that. You have the world's values and you have God's values, and they are in opposition to each other. They're in contradiction. Now, it's a long list, but there must be one verse in the Bible that kind of captures it all in just one verse, and there is. And it's in 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. Here's what it says. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. So there it is. Hard to improve on such a brief description. The world's values, the values of the age, revolve around three areas. And the thing is, they've always revolved around these three areas from the very beginning. It's never changed. It's not going to change. There's, first of all, lust of the flesh. This includes lust of the appetites, food, sex, pleasure, entertainment. And there's nothing wrong with these in and of themselves. Within the proper boundaries, these are gifts God has given us. It's outside the proper boundaries that they're a hindrance to God's plan for our growth. There's lust of the eyes. This includes lust for things that the world offers. Money, possessions, power. It includes envy and the clamoring for the things that others have that we want for ourselves. And there's the pride of life. Arrogance, boasting, pride in one's status or the house one owns, or the car one drives, or the bank account one has, or one's accomplishments. Now, there's nothing wrong with being blessed. But being prideful or arrogant about who we are, or what we have, or what we've done, this is an affront to God. just mentioned last week, maybe the week before, that most of what we have and most of what we do is outside our direct influence anyway. There are things beyond our control. When we were born, where we were born, who our parents were, the opportunities we had for education, whatever it is. Those things we couldn't even control. There are no self-made people, but recipients of God's sovereign blessing. Now, that's not to say that we don't participate, but we need to keep it in balance. So the charge is not easy, but it is simple. We're to not passively allow the world system, the age in which we live, to conform us to its own image. That's what the charge is, to make us like itself. And it will make us like itself. All we have to do is nothing. Just neglect it, and it will happen. Now, why is this a problem for the Christian? It's a problem because the world system is in direct opposition to the plan and will and purpose of God. And if we are not actively fighting the world's conforming us to its pattern, it's the one we will be conformed to. For the reasons I gave, it's fun to be conformed, and it's easy to be conformed. Strike one. And we have a sinful nature that wants to cooperate in the process of being conformed. Strike two. Because you can see that we're in trouble. There is no passive victory. There is no passive victory. Victory only comes through active resistance. Which is why Romans begins by urging us to offer ourselves to God's purpose and His service. This is the Christian's Magna Carta. It's our freedom to be what we were meant to be. So we've seen that it begins with offering ourselves to God's service and purpose. That's what we saw in the first verse. That's where it all starts, that God's plan involves us presenting ourselves, offering ourselves. We're urged to do it. We're pleaded with to do it. Offer yourselves as a living sacrifice. This is your reasonable service. This is your proper, logical response to God's mercy and His grace in your life. So that's where it starts. And that God's plan for us involves transformation. To move from what we are to what God desires us and designed us to be. And transformation involves change. Change is not always fun. Change sometimes is painful, real painful sometimes. But without change, there can be no transformation. Our transformation begins with recognizing the power of passive neglect. If you don't take anything with you today except that, then you're going to be way ahead. Passive neglect will cause us to be conformed to the image of the world. Happens every time. We must recognize the power. Sounds like a contradiction, but it's not. The power of passive neglect. There's a huge amount of power in doing nothing because it allows us to be conformed to the world. But we cannot passively neglect it. We cannot allow ourselves to be controlled and conformed to the world system, the age in which we live. But what we don't do is just half of the process. There's another half, and that's what we do. Today we've seen what we don't do. We don't allow ourselves to be conformed. How do we do it? By passive neglect. Next we have to see what we do in order to be transformed. That's next week. So I'll see you then. Okay? Unless you're in my growth group, you might get a little preview. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, this would seem so easy in many ways, except for the fact that we confess. Sometimes we like sin way too much. It's very enticing. It's very tempting. It draws us. It attracts us. And when you couple that with our natural, sinful nature, it's a recipe for disaster spiritually. And so we see in your word that we start with presenting ourselves for your purpose. And then it moves on to a recognition of the power of passive neglect, that the world wants to conform us to its image, and it will unless we fight it. And so we know the first part of our transformation is resistance. And we thank you that you have not left us to do this alone. We not only have the truth of your word, which we can draw upon, because truth itself is empowering, but we have your spirit living within us, who also empowers us, and we have each other to encourage us on the journey. And we look forward to what your word tells us about the proactive aspect of our growth. Not just what we don't do, but what we must do in order to be transformed. So we look forward to seeing that as well, and pray that you'll help us to process what we've heard today for your glory and for our growth through Christ our Lord. Amen.